Welcome to Abundant Life Now, hosted by Landsform, uncovering the truth to living a life of purpose. We're going to journey into the five major purpose areas of life with some laughter, tears, and smiles along the way. We're going to share wisdom and perspective that will save you time, eliminate distraction, and dare we say, bring you joy. I'm Robert Bolden, and I'm going to be joined by Tim Matasio and Dan Hendon. As hosts, we are all Christ followers, and like him, we welcome diverse perspectives and participation. This show is open to all perspectives, and that's what we're excited about. We are sponsored by Life Transformed, helping people go from isolation to community where the next step beyond is freedom.
Welcome. Talk show number 3. Oh, we're so happy that you're here and you're back again. And I have Dan Hendon from outside of Chicago and Mr. Tim Matasio from Lincoln, Nebraska here with me today. Welcome, guys, two of our esteemed panelists. And today we are going to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart. The enemy, Satan.
I don't understand. How is Satan near and dear to your heart? I got to hear that one.
Oh, well, he's near and dear to my
heart. Stabbing it.
He's near and dear to my heart because he's such a snivelly little, conniving little, you know, transparent, just little weasel.
He's a weasel. I don't know how transparent he is.
Well, here's the deal. I believe the more you and I know about the devil's tactics, what his process is of like getting people to follow him versus God and Jesus, the more you know, because his tricks haven't changed. His tactics haven't changed. They're the same things that have been going on for years and years and years and centuries.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah. So the more you know, then you're like, I know what's coming. So I can have my full armor on. I won't go into all that. We could have a whole nother show on that. But we're going to go at this from the devil's perspective. And there are 6 basic fears that Satan, this is coming from a book, one of the books that we do a mastermind on within Life Transformed. So this is a fun book. And the premise is that there are 6 basic fears. And if you think about Satan, all he wants to do is distract you from God. He wants to take your mind away from God. Every minute that he can steal and have you not thinking about God, not communing with God, not following Jesus. If he can get a minute, that's a win for him. If he can get a minute and a half, that's a win for him. So let's dive into the 6 basic fears that for discussion today, we're just going to all just say, yes, okay, these are the things that Satan uses to distract us. And the first one is the fear of poverty. Fear of poverty. What do you think, guys? How does that play out in the world today?
Dan? Well, I think that one of the things that Jesus talks in his parable of the seeds, he talks about seeds that fall on different types of soil. And one of the soils that those fall on are the ones that shoot up and grow up and get choked out by the cares of this world, get choked up by the weeds. And I think I can see even in my own life at times when my fear of poverty, when my desire to be a good steward of my time and my resources, to provide for my family, desires for good things, have grown up and taken a hold on my heart and pulled my attention away from God or away from doing the right things, where fear has blossomed because I've taken my eyes off of Christ and I'm looking at the challenge in front of me.
Yeah, and this is a guy that's a pastor. Dan is a pastor. So if he can say that that's happened to him, right? I think we all have our stories about poverty, right?
Yeah.
And the but fear of those, that.
I think that's one of the major cares of the world that can rise up around us and choke out our faith is that fear of poverty, that fear of not being, especially for those of us, we've only got our male leaders on here today, but for us guys, there's this innate desire in us to be providers for those that we love and we care for.
Mm-hmm. And
that fear of poverty gets in the way of who we've been created to be, and it creates that.
And it distracts you. That is Satan's goal, is to just distract you. Tim, thoughts?
Well, yeah, the Sermon on the Mount, consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. Consider the birds of the air. They are taken care of, even though they don't hold a job. So why did Christ, why was his first sermon pointing that out? Because he was hitting people where they are, where we are. And he knows we worry about material things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. It's not that he doesn't understand we have material needs. The Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. He understands we have material needs. But he promised to take care of those. So this attack on poverty is not really an attack. It's somewhat of an attack on us, but it's actually Satan questioning God's character. He is saying, God has said he will provide for you. Ha! Mm-hmm. Where is he? The rent's due, sister.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where is he? And so he's attacking God's character. He's challenging us to make the stones into bread ourselves. And so I think that he's always using that as kind of one of his approaches.
Oh, so well said. Love that. Love it, love it, love it. All right, let's go to the next fear. The fear of criticism. Fear of criticism.
Oh, that's a big one. Again, Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Again, he understands there's going to be criticism. There's going to be criticism when you become a Christian. There's going to be sometimes criticism when you don't. I mean, there's just criticism. He took all the criticism. And we are, as humans, we are loath to be embarrassed, criticized, mm-hmm. made fun of, called out in public. Who wants to go to work and have the boss stand up and say, you know, Joe, you didn't do your job this week? Oh boy, Joe is mad when he hears that. So, yeah, that's a big one. That's I agree that that's a huge one.
Yeah, and you think about it now, you guys, if you're listening, if you're watching this show, you've got two of the main things that Satan is going to use. So you're aware. Stan will say, our coach used to say, you're no longer ignorant. It's okay to be ignorant. When you're ignorant, it's okay because you don't know any better, but now you know better. And you have this awareness around those two, just the first two, fear of poverty, fear of criticism. So catch yourself. Take thoughts captive. If you find yourself fearing poverty, like Tim said, oh, the rent's due, sister. What are you going to do? Oh, the boss going to call me out. Then just know, Siri turned on over here. Then just know that that's Satan. That isn't God. God isn't telling you, oh, the rent's due. What are you going to do? God isn't telling you, hey, the boss calling you out. You better cower to that. Dan, any thoughts on the fear of criticism?
Oh, I have so many thoughts. the thing with the fear of criticism is that I find helpful is remembering another one of our mentors, John Maxwell, said in your 20s, you try and control what people think of you. In your 40s, you stop caring what people think of you. In your 60s, you realize nobody was ever thinking of you in the first place. And something that has always been helpful for me since coming to that realization has been most of the time when people are criticizing me, when people are going on the attack, it has very little, if anything, to do with me. It has to do with their own pain, their own insecurities, their own trauma, their own fears.
And who you remind them of a lot of times. It's not you, it's who you remind them of.
Yeah. And so if we can reframe when someone criticizes us, when someone comes on the verbal attack or something, if we can reframe that in our mind that this is a hurting person, and it really has nothing to do with me, then that frees me up so much when I remember that, and I don't always, to be loving and compassionate and to respond in a way or just ignore the situation, because it really it often will not benefit from me engaging.
Amen. Yeah. It won't. And let me tell you, all right, we did a study. The spiritual intelligence study. Dan, I know you weren't able to join us that whole time, but, and we won't go into that topic, but this may be a topic for another show. He talks about the second heaven. And what he talks about there is, if I should never be upset with another person. To your point, Dan, you just reminded me of that. Because all the spiritual warfare is going on in the second heaven. It's going on in our minds and our thoughts. Satan would have me, Dan is a jerk, and I'm mad at Dan, or I'm mad at Tim. No, it's never another person. It's all this innuendo going on in our minds. That's where Satan tries to attack. So I think that might be another show for us. I don't want to get too deep into that. But
yeah, Ephesians, Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against principalities of this present darkness. And when we keep that in mind, they're not the enemy. It's the spiritual problems and brokenness and in this world that's actually the problem. Then we can be a lot more compassionate to people who don't like.
And that is the key. Compassion is what God, Jesus, I mean, you study the Bible and compassion, Jesus, compassion, 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 compassion. He took action. He was compassionate. That's what it's all about. Ah, love that. Love that. All right, let's go to the third one. This is so much fun. All right, the third one, the fear of ill health. The fear of ill health.
This is one that I don't have a whole lot of fear around, although with all the ill health that I've had at different times in my life, perhaps it should be, but I'm dumb enough or resilient enough in that area to, it's not too much of a lousy memory.
Look at COVID. There is an example, worldwide example, right? I mean, I walked around, I was living in Nebraska first, and then I moved over here to Carolina. You could just walk around in public, and some people looked absolutely terrified. And they were just, boy, that was fear of ill health, like personified, amplified.
Yeah, the older you get, I think the more you face this one. I have a minimally invasive surgery on the near horizon.
Mm.
And my brother, who's 7 years older than me, says after a while, the body is kind of like a car, you know, the lights just start showing up.
Is he telling you this to pump you up, Tim? Is that what he's telling you for?
And you get one fixed, and then another light comes on. And then you get that one fixed. Yeah. But, you know, I joke about it because I have the hope of a new body. I have the hope of a resurrection. If I didn't, I can see it. It's rough.
How about that? There's a radio commercial. Tim, you and I have talked about this. The dude says, yeah, what is it? Oh, God, what's his name? He goes, yeah, he's on drugs. He's on pills, too.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's on pills. John Maxwell, he jokes about it. He goes, he went to his reunion, his 60-year high school reunion or whatever it was. And he said, yeah, they're all doctors. They're all talking about what medicine and everything. My mom is like 87. She's not on anything. And we take her, you know, she has to go to the doctor or do something. And people are amazed. They're like, nope, she's not on anything. What? What?
And the question is it the people or the pill poppers? Because, okay, so let me riff on that a second. In other words, do we need the pills because we need the pills, or do we need the pills because there's pills available? And
you need a market for them, don't you?
And the people selling those pills go, we got to peddle these pills. Let's find somebody. And so they come on TV, you know, every night, you know, and talking about this and that. And every commercial is must be made by the same company, because you got people riding their bikes and walking along the beach, and there's dogs coming along and take Zagokabok. You know, the funny names they come up with, I don't know how they do it. Take Zagokabop and you'll be able to get rid of your, you know, nasal drip. Side effects could include, and then of course they go into, yeah, I mean, you lose your sense of hearing, smelling, tasting. And
so the fear of ill health? Are they preying on the, is that Satan?
Okay.
I believe Big Pharma is a big part of Satan. I believe that's all under Satan.
So is Big Pharma saying, okay, we know people are afraid of ill health, so let's do that. Or Are we afraid of our health because we keep getting all inundated by all these people trying to sell their pills?
Oh,
well, I don't know.
You know, I've had some experience with people that have been high up in the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah.
And I've been involved with some natural medicine and natural supplement companies. And I've talked to people who have said, oh, yeah. When I was working at XYZ company, we would seek out these natural supplement companies and buy them out to shut them down. We'd give them millions of dollars just to shut them down because we can't make any money off of something natural. Because
we got billions.
Yes.
So we can give them millions because we got billions.
Amen. Yes. So that's a hot, that could be another talk show right there.
Well, I think it's amazing, even just as we're talking about this, I think one of the tactics, and I don't know if it's specifically one of the six tactics you're talking about, but one of the tactics of the devil is to take a good intention and twist it.
Oh, yes.
So there are lots of people who get into pharmaceuticals and big pharma and all of that with the intention of helping people.
They're good
and
people. Then yes.
Twist into the attention goes off of helping people for many and becomes about making money. And there are all sorts of reasons that we can justify that, but that's not just the pharmaceutical industry. That's everything. That's from in our churches. That's in our mom and pop businesses. That's in the way that we interact with our family. We want to preserve something. And so we don't take the greatest the root that will produce the greatest profit, not financial profit, but profit for people, benefit for people. And we allow ourselves a short-term gain when we could have a long-term, larger impact.
Spoiler alert. Well said, yes. And we've already used up our time. We're going to have to do another show for the other three fairs. Can you believe that?
Come on.
We're just like teasing. This is a tease. This wasn't an intentional tease.
just quickly, and this is all seriousness, one of my fears is not knowing, you know, what's coming up. And so now that you said this, Robert, I probably am not going to be able to get to sleep tonight because I'm going to be wondering, what are those other three fears? What are those other three fears? I wonder if that's one of the fears. It's called the fear of being left out.
FOMO, right? Fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out. Yeah.
Tim, working with Robert must be a real pain for you because so often he keeps whatever the topic's going to be so close to the vest until right at the time. So this fear of not knowing has got to like drive you up the wall.
No, I illustrate it to illustrate that fear of not knowing is a huge fear. It's called uncertainty, and it's a huge fear on the part of humans. And I'm curious whether that'll be showing up in one of the next.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. Those of you who are checking out too, you want to maybe get in our community. Tim does something called Revelation Revolution. And what Dan was just talking about there, he gives you, you'll discover for yourself some great insight around big business. That's the only tease I'm going to give you. You'll get some good insight from Revelation Revolution on big business. All right. Well, we have come to another amazing end to this show. Thank you guys so much for showing up. Thank you for not being fearful of not knowing what the next three topics are going to be at the next talk show, Tim. All right, you guys. Thanks again. We'll be back at you at the same time next week. All right.
Better
say
be
goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, everybody. See ya.
See you later, guys.
Thanks for joining us on Abundant Life Now, uncovering the truth of living a life of purpose. It's grateful to have Tim and Dan and the co-host today. I'd also like to thank Lifetime for sponsoring us. Takeaways for today.
Satan uses fear to distract people from following Jesus. Fear of poverty can lead you to a preoccupation with material needs, which distracts you from your faith. Fear of criticism can limit your ability to live out faith and be true to yourself. And finally, fear of ill health can lead to uncertainty and anxiety. Having hope in God's provision can alleviate that fear.
Check out our website. The link will be in the show notes. You can jump on our email list. We've got a lot of cool stuff happening there. And subscribe to the show. Share it with your friends. Join us next time, and we will see you soon.